Welcome back to hour number two of the ESPN 1320 Insiders. Get ready for the most up-to-date sports news and talk with the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
Hour number two, that's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. We're the Insiders hanging out with you until noon, and then we'll hand it off to D'Lo and KC. Those guys will take you into the weekend. They'll hang out with you until 4 o'clock right here on ESPN 1320. It's Sacramento's sports leader. Tons of football today because we had a football game last night. We've got a football game tonight. We've got college football Saturday. The week one of the NFL season begins in earnest on Sunday. The 49ers begin their season Monday. What a time. What a time. What a week.
Party what a time on. To be alive.
Speaking of the 49ers real quick, two notes that jumped out to me yesterday. One, Ricky Pearsall, less than a week after being shot through his chest, in the chest, out the back.
Through and through.
Through and through. Yeah, John Lynch is like a through and through is what they call it. Like, okay, John.
No, that's what we call it.
That's what we call it?
That's right.
Sure. That's what we call it in the group of people that watch CSI.
That's right. It's called a through and through.
So it's a through, because it goes in the body and out the body. They don't have to go dislodge the bullet out of it. They don't have to go get it out. It's just... He was at practice yesterday, which, okay, cool. He's upright. He's moving around. He's walking. He's wearing cleats and street clothes, obviously, and he's got a football, and he's, like, tossing it up to himself and, like, cradling it and moving it. If I had just been shot through the chest, catch me in, like, a sling, in a, like, a neck brace, in bed, not moving. And he's just out there like, yeah, I can't wait to play football. Hey, told Kyle Shanahan that he could play on Monday. He can't because he's on the non-football injury list. He's out at least 4 weeks. But it's like, yeah, I feel great. I can play.
We would use the entire 4 weeks and be like, hey, Kyle, I'm not coming in yet. I you remember I did get shot last week.
Right.
I'm not coming in.
We do a radio program.
I'm not coming in to do radio.
I could get my handheld mic and do this from my bed, and I'd still be like, I can't do it.
Yeah.
If you'll remember, I got shot. And he's just like, yeah, I can play Monday if you need me to.
I'm in.
It's crazy.
They glued it closed.
Unreal,
we're good,
man. The other thing is that Christian McCaffrey, who missed all of the preseason and most of training camp with a calf injury.
Mm-hmm.
It's a calf strain. Team didn't seem too worried about it. People I know who are around the team, nobody seemed worried about it. Nobody seemed overly concerned. McCaffrey was doing work on the side. He was limited in practice yesterday, which was expected, but was listed as limited with calf and Achilles injuries. And maybe this is me being a pessimist, and maybe this is me overreacting, but anytime I see Achilles with an athlete, in any sense, Tyler Jennings said that Larry Kruger, who was out of practice, said McCaffrey was moving around great, I'm sure. But anytime I see that Achilles tendon included in any injury report, my red flags go up.
I mean, your red flag should go off as soon as you hear calf injury.
Sure.
Right? So calf injury is directly connected. It is the support system for the Achilles, right? So it's not a joke. And as someone who's been in the gym when two guys popped their Achilles, Rudy Gay, and then I was in Toronto when Kevin Durant popped his Achilles. You got to remember that Kevin Durant, they kept saying he has a calf strain, he has a calf strain, he has a calf mm-hmm. strain. Then out of nowhere, the Warriors said, hey, he's going to give it a go. Our doctors say that there's no more, our staff, our training staff, our doctors, that there's no more that damage that he can do, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I had someone instantly reach out and that's crazy talk. That is not something I would ever say. There is easily a way in which...
That's what we're dealing with right now.
We've got Seth in the building. Oh, he's hiding behind me.
That's what's going on.
Anyway, the Kevin Durant situation, they literally said, hey, you can't do any more damage. And it's someone said, no, 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 no. that is like the entire support structure of the Achilles.
Right.
Like if the calf isn't strong, so not only do you have to have the calf repair itself, but then on top of that, you have to rebuild the calf muscle. You have to build the strength back up to support. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's scary. And I don't think you're overreacting. Like if this becomes a thing, we're talking, it's not week. They haven't got to week one yet, man.
And so that's what I don't know. And this is what they're not going to say, because they're not going to go deep into the medicals, right?
Yeah.
They're just going to say limited calf Achilles. Maybe this was, it's one of those things where, it was when he first strained it, it was something they were worried about. And so they've just listed it and he's 100%. He's good to go. But still, 4 weeks ago, 5 weeks ago, whatever it was now, it was a potential concern. And so they're still just listing it just to be, I don't know, safe or whatever.
This might be gamesmanship.
It could be, for sure. And they got me. Consider me gamed.
Yeah.
I've been gamesmaned.
I'm just always concerned. Anytime I hear calf injury, my instant thought is, I hate it. Like Trey Lyles last year, right before training camp ended and right before the start of the regular season, calf strain. Mm-hmm. And he missed 13 games.
Right. It depends. Right. And it depends, you know, there's severity of strains, right? There's a first degree and second degree.
We haven't even heard a calf strain, have we, with McCaffrey?
Yeah, that's what it was classified as at first. But they don't have to give details during the... they don't have to give details at all. But they don't have to give injury reports or practice reports during training camp. So they can just... hey, where was Christian McCaffrey? Oh, he's dealing with a calf thing. Or calf strain.
Yeah.
And so that's where I do think... I want to make sure I'm not going completely overboard here. I think he's going to play week one. Mm-hmm. And my guess is they'll be fine. Or he'll be fine. But it's so much different seeing Christian McCaffrey calf, Achilles versus just Christian McCaffrey calf.
Yeah, totally.
And I think part of the reason that he was out for the entire preseason, not even practicing, was because of that. They just went, hey, we're not going to mess with this. Same thing with Trey Lyles.
Yeah.
Trey Lyles is practicing, he's moving around, he's doing stuff, and it's like, nope, not going to push this, going to give him a ton of time to ramp up, and like you said, missed 13 games and came back and was good to go. That's why I think Christian McCaffrey missed so much time.
Well, even in Trey's case, he injured it, like it was right around like 2 or 3 days before the start of the season, right? Mm-hmm. So right around October 20th, 21st, 22nd, he didn't play until... a month later. His first game was on November 22nd, so literally a full month basically. And we watched them go from like he's not doing anything to, you know, maybe 2 weeks in they started having him do shooting drills, and then they started having him do shooting drills like off motion but on the court by himself. And then we started seeing him do shooting drills off motion, but he has to run down to each end of the, like, half end of the court. And then they started building him up slowly, and then all of a sudden he's playing 3-on-3. Like, there was a very strict, like, okay, we're watching to see how his body reacts every single day. And so you're hoping that, again, Trey Lyles and Christian McCaffrey, very similar in age. They play different sports for sure, and one of them is, like, literally looks like a bodybuilder. And not to besmirch the good name of Trey Lyles. It's not Trey Lyles. Trey Lyles has done great work on his body to get in great shape.
Sure.
But there's a big difference between basketball players and...
Correct.
Yeah, I mean, this is...
The physical rigors are substantial in both, but very different.
Yeah, yeah. Like in the 80s and 90s, I think like 3 NBA players had found the gym, like the actual weight room, and it was like Karl Malone and Michael Cage, and everyone else in the whole league was like, what is that? I'm not lifting a weight. What does that mean? I play basketball.
I think Nate Thurmond invented the NBA weight room.
Yeah, probably.
Which is a hoss.
Yeah, yeah.
And then, yeah, like you said, a couple players in the 80s, and now it's...
Yeah, there's like very few and far between. Now it's like everyone works out, but they don't work out like football players do, or even for that matter, they don't work out like baseball players do. Yeah. Like, baseball players are yacked. It's crazy.
It is. Baseball players, sneaky jacked.
Sneaky. crazy.
Do you remember Eric Sogard? You remember Eric Sogard?
Yeah,
I'm asking the general populace. Remember Eric Sogard? Nerd power, little second baseman.
Yeah.
Just looked tiny, right? And then you meet the guy, and he was 5'9", maybe.
Maybe.
But his forearms are just massive.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, you're yoked. Like, you are super duper strong.
Yeah.
But he just doesn't, he just looks like a normal, just your run-of-the-mill nerd.
Yeah, like, I don't have, like, chicken legs. Like, you know, like, but I would tell, like, Matt Chapman's forearms are almost the size of my quads.
Yeah, dude. Shout out to Matt Chapman, by the way.
I mean, like, absolutely. The baseball players, whatever the angle is, I don't know what it is they do that makes them not look big, but when you walk into a major league clubhouse, you're instantly like, what is happening here? Like, Jed Lowry's like an older guy and doesn't look big at all. Stacked.
Just
like,
yoked.
What is happening?
I think it's the perception of the sport.
Yeah.
I think in basketball, you know, like, man, physical sport, these guys are getting up and down, they can leap and they can shoot and they're crashing into each other in the post and they're getting these guys are then in the NFL, of course, you know, they're gladiators on the gridiron.
NFL, everyone has a V. Like except for some of the offensive linemen.
Sure.
Their shoulders like are out here and they taper down.
Mm-hmm.
They're just totally huge dudes. But when it comes to When it comes to Major League Baseball,
this whole thing, I've punted the idea that we're gonna get through this without shoutouts going nuts,
without them going crazy. Yeah.
So, but then in baseball, you're going, oh, it's just baseball.
Yeah,
they're just lounging around out there, pitch, hit, field, throw. I genuinely think that's what it is.
Okay. Yeah.
Except for Starling Marte.
Oh.
Starling Marte looks like
wiry.
No. He looks like an NFL player in an MLB uniform.
Oh, okay, yeah.
He is just rocked up.
Yeah.
Pause.
Wild.
Mitch, are you built more like an NFL player or an NBA player? Mitch, you're killing me, bro.
Mitch, where are you?
He's done. Mitch is done for today. I love you, Mitch, but yeah.
That's the third time.
And I wasn't going to take his call during Faraz. During Fantasy Friday.
Yeah.
Because I figured Mitch is probably not a fantasy football guy. But I kept putting him on hold, and he kept hanging up and calling back.
Oh, no.
So I thought maybe he was trying to get my attention, like, yo, I want to ask Faraz a question because we can't screen the calls. And so, no, Mitch, you can hear me. I know you can. At least I hope you can. I'm not going to take your call today because I've tried 3 times and we're 0-3.
I feel like he might be pocket dialing us.
Maybe, but Mitch, I love you. We'll talk to you next week. But, anyways, Mitch got me sidetracked. Niners. We were talking bodybuilding.
Yeah, ridiculousness that is Major League Baseball players.
We'll have mad props coming up in the next segment. By the way.
Oh yes.
Yeah, I've got some mad props. We're gonna because typically what we do with mad props is we do an NFL game, we do the Niner game and the Kings game. You know, whenever going into a weekend.
Yeah.
If the Kings play Friday, we'll do the Friday Kings game and the Sunday Niners game, right? But I'm doing Niners and Raiders until basketball season starts. So we'll do Raiders game Sunday, Niners game Monday. I'm trying not to do, like, it won't be Brock Purdy pass attempts or Gardner Minshew pass attempts.
Yeah, that's tough.
I'm trying to cross-match, like, positions and different things. So we'll have a fun discussion. The Raiders open their season against the Los Angeles Chargers. Jim Harbaugh's Los Angeles Chargers.
That's wild.
Down at SoFi Stadium in L.A., Sunday, 1:05 kickoff. We'll have that for you right here on ESPN 1320. Mitch is calling back.
I'm telling you, he's just pocket
dialing. I'm letting it ring. I'm letting it ring this time.
He's just like accidentally like calling us repeatedly.
Yeah, maybe. The thing that bums me out is I know this shows me he's not listening. Like, he's not listening to the program.
Oh.
Yeah.
He's just hanging out.
I thought we had a P1 in New Jersey.
Just randomly calling in.
It's all right, Mitch. Still love you. We'll talk to you Monday. Raiders, Chargers, Sunday down in L.A. Home game for the Raiders at SoFi Stadium, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
It is going to be so full of silver and black.
I think by the year, like, 2080, the Raiders will have played in, like, 7 or 8 different communities. I think they'll just keep moving. Like, they think Vegas is cool now, but then it'll be like, you know what? It's kind of hot here. And the tickets, you know, we've got declining. Let's go play in Utah. Let's go play in Coeur d'Alene, Idaho. They're just going to try to own the entire western west coast but by slowly taking on one community at a time.
Maybe. I think the NFL is never going to leave Las Vegas.
You don't think they'll let them be the the Albuquerque Raiders?
No. I don't. I don't. I think the Raiders have found a if they go anywhere, I think it would be back to through different various teams moving around. I think they would either go back to LA or back to Oakland. I don't think they would leave Vegas for a city they've never been.
Isn't that wild?
And I don't think the NFL is going to leave Vegas.
What if they just kept going back to Oakland? Although we have no idea what would happen, what's going to happen with the Coliseum and whether there would actually.
Yeah, this is we're talking, you know, decades from now that any movement would happen.
Like, but they're not going anywhere. I'm just messing around. Yeah, by 2080.
Yeah. So it's but you can't take it off the table.
No, you can't. No.
Eagles Packers tonight in Brazil. Friday game's weird, but I'm here for it. I'm fascinated by this game because you have two teams that I think probably fancy themselves contenders in the NFC.
Mm-hmm.
With Green Bay and Philly. Philly in the Super Bowl 2 years ago and started 10-1 last year.
Yep.
And then you had Green Bay, who made the divisional playoffs last year after boat racing the Cowboys in Dallas in the wild card round, and then were one or two plays away from beating the 49ers in Levi Stadium in the divisional round. So it's really interesting because you have this neutral site game in Brazil where there will be no Twitter, currently X. So fascinated to see the dynamics there as just as a media dork. But then you have Green Bay, who is very much ascending at the end of last year. And you have Philly, who was very much bottoming out at the end of last year, running into each other in week one of this season. I think whoever loses this game is missing the playoffs.
That's a bold statement this early. Like, if I had to choose, I would think that Philadelphia is a team that will have figured it out because they were so good.
Mm-hmm.
And they lost a lot on the defensive line for sure. And they lost Jason Kelce. They've lost plenty of, you know, star level players.
Sure.
But at the same time, they're the team that still has incredible specialty players. They're the team that still has some big time, you know, athletes on the offensive side of the ball. So I like them. I don't buy the Green Bay Packer hype all that much. I'm sure, you know, they gave the Niners a run. But I'm just not fully bought in on who they are yet as a team.
Yeah. Sorry. I'm trying to type and talk here. 11:28. I don't know if that's being conveyed properly. Thanks. I'm kind of worried. Here's what my concern about Philly is not that they are not good enough or talented enough or whatever it is. My concern is that they hate their head coach.
Oh.
And if Green Bay goes and loses this game, I could see this season being a just bump in the road. I think Green Bay is ascending and is going to be really good for a while. But I could see it being a kind of season where it's like rocky and a little bit back and forth where they go 9-8 and they miss the playoffs.
Yeah.
Whereas Philly, okay, they got that week one win over Green Bay. They're bouncing back and they kind of get things rolling the right direction again, 2 years removed from their Super Bowl loss. Whereas if Philly loses tonight, you might just get full blown turmoil. That story that came out about how Jalen Hurts and Nick Sirianni like don't get along, the big expose that came out on ESPN, that might all like come back to the fore here during the season where Philly just never quite gets the engine turned over and rolling, despite how talented they are.
No, I think that that's totally a possibility. But also, remember that the reason why they were so like dominant 2 years ago was because they had this incredible defensive line. I mean, they had great offense,
no doubt.
Right? But their defensive line was
set records.
It was like a problem.
Mm-hmm.
And almost all of them are gone. They're all somewhere else. And so I guess maybe you can get some of the same production by using the same scheme out of someone different. And maybe that's what they will do. But still, I don't fear that aspect of their team nearly as much as I did 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. And it's what kept the Niners out of the Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. But also it kept teams so off balance that their ability to get to the quarterback and to put pressure on the quarterback would just change the game. Mm-hmm. Like, they had great field possession the whole season. Mm-hmm. You know, Jalen Hurts, did he play? Well, yeah, he was great. But he also had a lot of advantages because of his defense and a lot of mistakes that their defense caused that put him in a good position. Now let's see if they can rebuild it. I think it's interesting. Is there anything about Love is up and coming, but is there anything else about Green Bay that just makes you go, oh man, like that's the team? And I don't know.
It's how quickly they ascended last year with a roster full of dudes that were like 24.
Yeah.
And the fact that Matt LaFleur is just very quietly one of the five best coaches in the league. Mm. That is why Green Bay jumps out to me. That's why Green Bay stands out. More likely outcome here. Green Bay and Philly are the NFC Championship matchup. So they both make the NFC title game.
Mm-hmm.
Or both teams miss the postseason entirely.
I think it's more likely... I mean, in all honesty, that one of them makes playoff and one doesn't. But I would say, like, if your question, to answer your specific question.
I'm telling you, one of these two things happens.
I would say that it's both teams miss the playoffs. I'm closer to that because I look at the Niners. I look at the Rams. I look at the Cowboys. I look at the Lions.
Yeah.
The Lions are a team that stand out.
The Bears might legit be a problem.
Yeah, but I look at like some of these teams that are up and coming and I go, okay, both of those teams getting to the NFC Championship game is really, really tough.
Yeah.
Just because one of them, sure, one of them can get there.
Yeah.
And I don't care which one. Like, I think both of them have their quality teams and they've got opportunity. But if I were to bank on it, if I were to make a bet based on your question, very specific, they're closer to not making the playoffs than they are to both being in the NFC Championship game.
I think I lean that way too, but your initial response where you said, I think one of them makes the playoffs.
Yeah.
That causes me to want to lean the other way because if I, because if, I think there's more likelihood that both of these teams are really good than both of them are so bad that they're missing the postseason. Where you talk about Dallas, I could see Dallas falling off.
Okay.
So what you're looking for is Green Bay to continue ascending and a bounce back from a really talented Eagles team.
Yep.
Okay. You have the Niners with the Super Bowl hangover potential. You have the Cowboys who have like three good players.
Well, yeah, like even Bland's out forever.
Four good players.
Yeah.
So you could see the Cowboys falling off again. Not saying this will happen. Just painting the picture. The Bears. Okay, maybe they're better, but not quite ready to take that leap. They take that step forward. Maybe next year's the leap for them.
Yeah.
The Lions. I think the Lions are definitely going to be around and in the mix. But all of those teams, you could definitely find reasons that hey, you know what they fell off because of injury or because, you know what, overestimated how good Team X was going to be or whatever it is, and all of a sudden you're looking at Philly. Wow, look, Philly bounced back. They really bottomed out last year, but they needed to bottom out to bounce back and get back to Super Bowl caliber, team to just become a Super Bowl caliber. I almost said Super Bowl caliber level, but that's repetitive. To become a Super Bowl caliber team again. You can see them bouncing back. And oh, Green Bay, look, this really talented group of young players with a really good coach continued to be really good. I think I would, now that I've talked through that, I think I'm leaning toward the opposite side. I think I lean towards both of them being in the NFC title game than them both missing the playoffs.
Okay. I want to continue this because I don't think that we've like sort of put our stamp on who do we think will make the playoffs and who do we think will be out. And we got to take a break.
Yeah, we sure do. Stephen Brown, I see something you said in the chat Totally agree. Couldn't agree more with you. You guys decide which chat it is. You can go look at youtube.com/ESPN1320. Yeah, we'll continue talking about this game tonight, Packers Eagles, and we will also dive into mad props. We'll explain that next on ESPN 1320, Sacramento Sports Center.
Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen. Brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
Make sure you get out to D'Lo and KC's live show. That's Monday, noon, at Sky River Casino.
Oh, they're going to be out there all day?
As far as I know.
Are they going to do a hangout and watch the Niners game?
I don't want to make plans for them.
Okay.
I don't know. I do know that there is a live show out there at noon.
At noon.
At Sky River Casino, noon to four, and I, maybe they're hanging out after, but okay. I know they're always there for at least a little bit after.
Okay.
And then, of course, the Niners play that night. So go out to the live show. Even if you can only drop by for 10 minutes, it's a blast out there.
Oh, yeah.
Just seeing everybody, saying hey to everyone. I won't be there. I'm going to have some Niners responsibilities, but
oh, yeah.
I would be there if I could. Whenever they do a live show for a Kings game, I'll be there.
It just feels like everything we, like most things that we do here, is the opposite direction of where I live. So I'll see if I can make it out there on Monday. But if I'm going to make it out there, then I'm going to have to watch the entire game out there because I don't want to miss the game. You know what I mean? And then that means I'm not going to get home until like 10 o'clock. I don't know. We'll see. Maybe I can get my son to meet me and we'll go down.
There you go.
To the game. Yeah.
That'd be fun.
Yeah.
All right. We're going to do Mad Props. We have an intro for Mad Props, right?
What?
Oh, here we go. Here we go.
I love Mad Props.
It's time for Mad Props. Two games, two props. Which number will be higher? That's for Kyle and James to decide. Here's Mad Props.
Oh, hell yeah. We're so back.
That's awesome.
All right, Mad Props. So what we typically do is during the NBA season, we'll take... the Niner game with whatever Kings game is coming up over the weekend, and I'll pick a 49er stat and a Kings stat, and we decide which one is going to be higher.
Mm-hmm.
That's how this typically goes. What we're going to do today and up until the Kings season starts is we're going to do the Niner game with the Raider game.
Okay.
That's how this is going to play.
Yeah, that works for me.
So, and I'm trying not to, like I said, I'm trying not to go position to position, right?
Yeah.
So I don't want to go like this Brock Purdy stat or this Gardner Minshew stat, because that sounds like not that much fun. So I'm going to try and cross match these and do our best. Okay. Number one, Brock Purdy pass attempts or Raiders points scored. They're facing the Los Angeles Chargers.
I'm going to go... Oh man, this is a tough one.
That's the goal.
This is good. I'm gonna say Brock Purdy pass attempts at 24.
Okay.
And the Raiders score 17.
So you're going Purdy?
Purdy.
Okay, very good. Yeah, I think I'm going to lean I think I'm going to lean Purdy pass attempts as well, because I think San Francisco is going to play from behind.
Oh.
And I think they're going to have to put the ball in the air a little bit.
Okay.
So that's and then Christian McCaffrey's got his calf thing. I'm going to go that route. I think you're looking at maybe like 28 pass attempts for Purdy, and I think you're in the 20 to 24 range for the Raiders.
What's the over under on pass attempts for Purdy?
Like the number?
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't have it in front.
Okay.
I can get to BetMGM real quick and let you know.
Yeah, that's one of those things where, like, afterwards we kind of look at it and like, oh.
I try not to look at the props beforehand.
Okay.
Because I try and do these off the dome.
No, that's fine.
So I try not to look beforehand, but let's see. Niners, Jets, Brock Purdy, quarterback props, passing attempts. Purdy 31.5.
Whew.
But the juice to the under. Minus 130 for the under, plus 100 for the over.
That's crazy.
It's a lot of attempts.
Okay.
It's a lot of attempts. Mad props. Number two, Christian McCaffrey touches. So that is receptions or carries. or Gardner Minshew completions?
Oh, man. I'm going to go McCaffrey touches.
Okay.
But it's more that I don't believe in, like, I really like Gardner Minshew. I don't believe he's going to have more than, like, again, like 17, 18 completions.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I'm wrong.
Yeah, I'm going to go Minshew here. I think you're looking at 21 or 22 completions for Minshew. And okay. I don't think McCaffrey's going to be like limited, but I do think you're going to see a good Jets run defense. I think the Niners are going to be in second and long and third and long quite a bit. That's part of the reason I think Brock Purdy's pass attempts are going to be higher. So I'm going to go Minshew here because I don't think it's going to be like a 20 plus carry game for McCaffrey. I think you're looking at 13 to 15 carries and a couple of catches.
Yeah, I think you're probably right. I'll stick with my call, but I think there's also a possibility McCaffrey sits for a good portion.
Yeah.
If the game's out of hand one way or another.
Yeah, definitely. Let's talk kicker. Jake Moody made field goals or Max Crosby sacks?
I'm going to go Moody made field goals.
Yeah, I'm going to go that route too.
Three. Three's a number.
Yeah, I just... Max Crosby is awesome.
Yep.
Chargers offensive line is really good, and I think the Chargers are going to run it a lot.
Okay.
I think they're going to be a Jim Harbaugh, Greg Roman team. I think they're going to run it quite a bit. And I think they're going to try and do that in part to limit the damage Max Crosby can do.
Mm-hmm.
I think you're looking at a sack for Max Crosby, maybe two. I think you're looking at two or three made field goals for Jake Moody because I think you're going to see the Niners stall out in the red zone a lot.
Okay.
So that's where that lands for me. Let's talk about the Niners star pass rusher, Nick Bosa. Nick Bosa pressures, according to PFF. So I'll go to Pro Football Focus on Tuesday and get his pressure totals. Or Devontae Adams receptions.
I'm going to go, man, I don't like the Jets offensive line is always sketch.
Remember, they did add Tyron Smith this offseason.
Okay. So give me my... So it's either Bosa pressures or... What's my other option?
Bosa pressures or Devontae Adams catches.
I'm going to go Devontae Adams. I think...
I went like the same route.
Seven.
I went the same route. I think you're looking at seven or eight catches for Devontae Adams. The Niners' edge depth scares me quite a bit. And I think you're going to see the Jets do everything they can to make sure Nick Bosa does not wreck their offense.
Okay.
Robert Saleh is very familiar with what Nick Bosa can do to an opposing offense, and I think they're going to throw the kitchen sink at him and say, if Leonard Floyd and Robert Beal Jr. are going to beat us, then so be it. So I'm also going with Devontae Adams receptions there. I think you're looking at six or seven catches for him. I think you're looking at four or five pressures for Bosa.
Yep.
Brandon Ayuk snaps. So snaps played by Brandon Ayuk or Raiders Chargers total points.
Oh man, I'm going to go Raiders Chargers total points. Although that's probably not smart cuz I already said the Raiders I thought would score like 17.
Okay, so let's work through this. You're not totally committed to this yet.
Yeah, because I'm not sure what is his standard how many snaps in a standard offensive game?
60.
60. Okay, so, yeah, I'm going to stick with where I was because I think I don't know that Ayuk's going to do 40 snaps and you know, after just coming back.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that that's probably the over-under is probably, what, 42, 43 in the Raiders-Chargers game?
I can
unless
that,
I'm way
that,
off.
I can get that exact number for you. Stand by.
Yeah.
The over-under in Raiders-Chargers, according to BetMGM, 40.5.
40.5, yeah.
Yeah, that's, see, I had, when I wrote Brandon Ayuk snaps, I had 40 in my head.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
So, I do think, here, I'm going to go Ayuk snaps, and I'm going to do that because I think you're going to see a lot of short drives from the Niners early on.
Okay.
Where he's on the field for all of them, and by the end of the game, it's close, and they go, hey, we need Brandon Ayuk to be playing. Are you good to go? You are. You've only been on the field for... one long drive. So I'm gonna go Brandon Ayuk on that one. Last one. 49ers, Packers, total points scored, or receiving yards for Raiders rookie tight end Brock Bowers?
Oh, I'm going to go Bowers.
Going Bowers. Yeah, that's my lean too. I think Bowers might have a huge.
Yeah, even
I don't know that the Chargers have anybody who can cover a tight end like that. I think they're going to move him around a lot, and he has not played in a professional game yet, so there's not a ton of tape on him.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the Raiders are going to be able to deploy him in a couple of ways where even if he only has 3 or 4 catches, I think at least one of those goes for an explosive play. I could see him having 4 catches for like 78 yards.
Yeah, I was thinking like 65, like 5 for 65 or something.
Yeah.
Okay. So,
all right, that's Mad Props. We'll go back over those on Tuesday. Well, we'll go back through and I will add up points and totals and we'll keep track throughout the year this season. That is Mad Props. If you would like to sponsor that program, let us know.
Mm.
We'll do that every Friday.
According to Secure and Bagley in the chat, the Bengals are listing T. Higgins as doubtful for Sunday's game versus the Patriots due to a hamstring injury. Jamar Chase is also questionable because he won't tell them if he's going to play or not because he wants to get paid more than Justin Jefferson, like a lot more than Justin Jefferson. Well,
yikes.
Yeah. Good luck, Joe Burrows. Good luck with that.
Good luck, everybody who took him in their survivor pools, me.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's something. Like, I don't play
I
a lot
I
of survivor
okay
pools. I don't play a ton of survivor pools, but like a buddy reached out and said, hey, I'm doing a survivor pool. Uh-huh. You want to help me out here? And I'm like, okay, yeah, that's fine.
Okay. Who'd you go with week one?
Well, week one, I think week one is crucial because a bunch of people just make, like, they try to, like, be incredible prognosticators too early in the season.
Definitely.
Right?
Yes.
So half of the survivor pool dies in week one because they took some game that they should not have been anywhere 1,000%. Near at all. So for me, I think the first team to get bounced is New England. That's like the safest bet this week.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I went with.
So you picked against New England?
Yes.
So you picked the Bengals?
Yes.
Okay. We're on the same page.
Okay, so I had forgotten, but still.
That's what we're talking about. That's where Kenny Caraway coming in for the handoff here shortly. That's literally what we are discussing right now. Kenny Caraway, everybody.
I guess Mitch isn't calling.
Yeah, no, Mitch is done for today.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
He called 3 times.
My dog called
every time.
Yeah. Oh.
And the one time he finally did answer because we had our fantasy segment, right? For us, Siddiqui, upperhandfantasy.com.
Yeah.
Also subscribe to the podcast wherever you get your pods. And on the free Odyssey app, of course. Mitch called during that segment.
Okay.
And so I put him on hold. So I put him on hold.
Yeah.
And then he hung up and called back.
Mm.
I put him on hold again. And then he called back, and I'm like, oh, he's trying to get my attention because he wants to ask a fantasy question. I don't think Mitch is a fantasy guy. I didn't know. That's my bad. So I took his call, and he goes, no, I'll call back later. And then he calls back later, and
it was like 5 seconds of Mitch, and then we hear him in the background, oh, I'll call back later.
Like Mitch,
that's my boy.
So he calls. So he calls back, and of course, I'm with you. Like Mitch, it's my dog. Oh, what's up, Mitch? I usually won't do that.
Yeah.
Like if you whiff on the like, sorry, call back tomorrow.
Right.
But all right, we'll get Mitch in here, and we answer, and nothing.
Oh, come on, man. Come on, Mitch. You gotta be ready to go.
I know, and that was, and we had tried. I think I left out. We tried earlier in the show, and nothing.
I think he was pocket dialing us.
That could have been the case.
I think
it could have been the case.
I think he was literally like pocket dialing.
Oh no.
Maybe I'm wrong.
Calling Kyle. Calling James. Oh no.
Kyle.
Damon.
James.
Kenny.
KC. Damon. That's my boy.
Kyle.
My boy Mitch. Hey man, look, I got a bone to pick with you guys, man. Pause.
Uh oh.
I was listening, man. I was listening. Y'all talking about my boy Lamar. Y'all talking about my brother. Now, look.
Yeah, we're so mean. We said he's one of the best quarterbacks in the league. Oh, no.
No, this is. This,
like, oh, pick your bones,
this,
bro.
This is. Well, yeah. Thanks. Well, this is the issue I have. It's all whatever, right? Like, we're talking about sports, we're having a good time, all this other stuff. But the notion that Lamar can't win the big game because of what happened last night, I completely reject. Because wasn't it 2 years ago when he beat the Chiefs on Monday Night Football and the come from behind win? Remember when he does the front flip into the end zone after Kelsey? Mm-hmm. Like, what's the difference between that game and last night?
It's consistency. You got to do that consistently. My issue feels so strong, but my pushback on what Damian said yesterday, Damian said it's Patrick Mahomes is tier one, Lamar Jackson is tier two, everybody else is tier three and below. And my contention is, well, he would be tier two by himself if he consistently came up in spots like that. And you see the reason he is a tier two quarterback, because he's the only reason they were in that game.
Oh, yeah.
If you had a replacement level quarterback in there, they're losing that game by 40 freaking points. They're in the game. They're in position to win because of Lamar. Those two throws into the end zone before the last play were abhorrent. They were really bad. And it's like, it's not that he's bad. It's just, that's why he's not separated for me from Joe Burrow and from Josh Allen, these two really good quarterbacks who just also happen to be behind Patrick Mahomes. He's not in a tier by himself.
But he has done it.
Sure.
Like, he has.
I think every quarter, Dak Prescott has won big games before.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Can you consistently do it? Or are you going to, in a big spot, make two really bad throws into the end zone on first and second down?
Wow. Okay. But I guess that's my point.
You're going to fumble on the second drive and prove Paul freaking Marshall right.
That was crazy.
That's where the real salt is.
in a big spot, he has done that. And I think, like, if,
so you agree with Damian then that he's in a tier by himself in tier two?
I think he's clearly better than Josh Allen.
Okay.
Like, that's what we're talking about.
Like, but what makes him better?
I think he's a better runner, and I think he's a better decision maker.
Okay.
Than Josh Allen.
That's fair.
But, like, if we're playing that game, Joe Burrow's the one in a tier above Allen and Lamar Jackson.
Sure.
Because Joe Burrow consistently wins. He's beat Patrick Mahomes when it counts.
Yeah, in the
He's
AFC
just not
Academy.
Patrick Mahomes, so I'm not going to put him above him or on the same level. But it would be Joe Burrow by that criteria.
Yeah, I think, like, there's such a small difference between, like, they all do something different. They, like, very much so. They're very specific types of players, and they all bring something cool, nuanced to what it is that they are. But it kind of comes down to, if everyone is equal, and, you know, again, anyone can beat anyone, right? But if the criteria is you got to win, like, let's just say what happened last night, 1:30 left in the game. You get the ball back. You need a touchdown to tie it. I'm taking Mahomes first without any question. And so, like, that's what elevates him into tier one. I don't care about the stats or anything else. But then after that, there's just like this mumbled up, you know, who is it that I want? I probably want Burrow first because he's won so many games coming from behind at the end of a game.
Burrow's issue is health.
Yeah.
My man can't stay healthy.
Right.
Yeah. And then after that, it's like, I know that again, Lamar has won some big games. I know, like, all of these quarterbacks have won some big games, but consistent, if every single game comes down to a minute 30 left, like, you can't give Patrick Mahomes 13 seconds at the end of a game.
Right.
He's going to beat you.
Right. He's next level.
Yeah.
I guess.
And that's, so here's what I was trying to say at the top of the show. Was not that they lost the game, because also said, if Isaiah Likely wears a size 12 and a half instead of a size 13, we're talking about Lamar Jackson's game-winning touchdown pass.
Right.
The margin of error is that small. It's just, man, the plays were there to be made, and he didn't make them, and that's just why he hasn't set. He makes them sometimes, for sure. We saw him come into Levi Stadium in prime time against the best team in the NFC and boat race those dudes. They had no answers. Like, that's why he's great. That's why he's one of the four or five best quarterbacks in the sport.
Yeah.
He just hasn't separated himself above those other guys because we see him fumble on that second drive. We see the couple of bad throws into the end zone. That's all. It's not.
No, yeah. And I get what both of you guys are saying. Nobody's saying he's a bum or nothing like that.
Right.
And when guys are that great and they're that close together.
It is. Picking
minutes. Yeah, that's what it is. I guess my thing is always, and it's not just you guys, this is what happens with sports talk in general.
Yeah.
Like, what happened last night wasn't going to change my opinion on Lamar Jackson.
Same.
And I think there's people who would be like, oh, he did it. He did it. That guy, you see how he brought him back and they scored a 2.1? He showed me he's that guy now. Mm-hmm. No, he, what?
Right.
Because if he loses in the division round, you're going to be talking crazy about him again next September.
Yeah.
So last night shouldn't do anything. If you think Lamar is, mm-hmm. whatever you think of Lamar, that's what you think regardless of the outcome yesterday.
Yes.
I guess that was my overarching point.
Yesterday was a we had that conversation with D'Lo during the handoff yesterday about Lamar, where he said Lamar, and my point at the top of the show was the reason I disagree is because of that. That was a perfect encapsulation last night of why Lamar is where he is. Mm-hmm. He is great. He is just unbelievable. Two-time MVP with two different offensive coordinators and has them in position to win on the road week one at Arrowhead. Like, that is why he is a tier two guy.
Mm-hmm.
But he's not in a tier by himself because, God, those little mistakes that keep him from are what keep him from separating himself.
Completely fair.
And it's not even always the little mistakes. It's just some guys get it done and some guys don't.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, again, like, there are a lot of quarterbacks who put up tons of numbers for years and years who just can't ever figure out how to lead a team or win the big moment. And so, I think he's phenomenal. I just think that
there's still so much that goes into that, too, though, right? Because it's like, you know, I'm very critical of Josh Allen, even though I think he's a great mm-hmm. quarterback.
Sure.
But him not finding a way to get it done, what was that, 2-3 years ago? That wasn't his fault. He scored the touchdown with 13 seconds
left. Yeah, you did everything you can do.
He didn't get the ball back, you know, get to touch the ball in overtime. Yeah. So that's not on him. That's not him not finding a way to get it done.
Mm-hmm.
In a game like football where it is offense and defense.
Mm-hmm.
And that's sometimes, you know, right now, I don't think it's going to be the case forever like Patrick Ewing and all those other guys.
Yeah.
But right now, at least in the recent past, Patrick Mahomes has been a guy to figure it out. I think two of these guys are going to figure it out in the relatively near future.
I will say, too, I saw somebody in the chat here say that Lamar outplayed Patrick Mahomes last night, and I don't necessarily disagree with that take, but the thing is Patrick Mahomes is so stamped now that, like, it's not about one game.
Mm-hmm.
We weren't going to decide who was the better quarterback based on who played well in this game.
Right, right, right.
Like, that's
right.
Not what this is about.
Right.
No.
Right.
At all. Lamar was good last night.
I wanted to say that. I wanted to say Lamar was the best player on the field last night, and he might have been, but Patrick Mahomes was nice last night.
Yeah, that he was really that nice one play where he escaped and then slung it sidearm.
We gotta run here, but we're both going to be on with you and D'Lo today. James at 3 o'clock, me coming up at...
No, I'm not on.
Oh, no, you're not today because you got a party to get to.
Well, you know, it's going up.
Well,
tailgate.
We will continue discussing this because I lost my train of thought and can't remember what I was going to say. So, D'Lo and KC coming up next. Everybody have a great weekend. That's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. We will be back with you Monday. Enjoy college football tomorrow.
Yeah.
Enjoy NFL football all day Sunday. Cannot wait to talk about it with you on Monday. Until then, drink water and be nice to people. Bye.